coming up on this episode of The Village Idiom.
Pinching. I almost did it.
The classic viral video.
I almost did it. Pitching tents.
That's right.
Wow. Dum, dum, da-da, Village Idiom. Hello and welcome to The Village Idiom.
We are a podcast and every week we choose a popular saying, take an admittedly shallow, hopefully comedic, once in a while interesting, if we're really lucky, educational, dive into its meaning, its usage, its origins, but otherwise we're going to just use it and abuse it to hang our otherwise directionless conversation on. My name is still Jurassic Mark.
And I am still skinny.
You sure are.
Feeling it. So good. I was just noticing in the for the YouTube folks, my hair is just a disaster, eh?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. It just seems like...
I was going to say, good hair day.
Oh, it's like very Kramer-esque today. Like, it just, I don't know. It's like balding Kramer something.
That's funny.
I don't know.
You should grow it out and straight up.
Actually, just own the Kramer thing.
Get Kramer shirts. Start saying, giddy up.
Well, it's been good.
It has been good. This has been, it felt like a long week. I had a trip in between. Maybe that's why.
Where'd you go?
Flew out to the tropical isle of Toronto.
Oh, it does have an island right outside.
What?
Yeah. It's...
on the Great Lake?
I don't know. Is it a Great Lake? So, there's Toronto. I remember having dinner in the CN Tower.
It's a good lake. I don't know about great.
Of all the lakes, it's not bad.
I saw the CN Tower, drove under it. And
is there a way to drive under it?
Well, not like underground under it, okay, but I mean, no. I had to look up to see it.
Okay, so yes. And then enjoying dinner, I look out, it's like, there's an airport and an island in the river, lake, whatever that is.
I mean, it has to be Lake Ontario. There is an island. We were talking about it while we were there, but I didn't know an airport.
Yeah, you could like land a plane. I'm not talking a 747 or nothing, but.
Wait, is that Lake Ontario or Lake Michigan?
I don't know. Does it matter?
No.
It's not beautiful BC, so we don't care.
That's right.
Anyways.
Yeah, there is an island. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's pot. Can you live on that island?
Somebody can, because there's residents. I think you could live on any island, can't you?
I guess you could.
I mean, you could just like practically
throw up a tent.
Yeah.
Live on any island.
Pinching. I almost did it.
The classic viral video.
I almost did it. Pitching tents.
That's right.
Wow. That's how that guy did it.
That's how easy that is.
That almost happened to me, but I stopped myself.
The perkiness is that we could have edited it out.
Yeah, that is the perkiness. Well, whatever. So we have a special idiom prepared.
Prepared. Okay, you say prepared.
Prepared.
Great poop
for you today, legitimate children. Very exciting. So we should let you know a little bit about what it is.
Now this way. You'd be able to tell Roscoe you unturned every stone.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks. I unturned every stone. That's good. I'll tell you.
Little digs out there. I don't know why it didn't come on the screen behind us, but that's okay. We could hear the audio. It's a little clicky. And that's not even Roscoe. That's, what's this guy's name? He's talking about Roscoe. It was the newer, younger guy.
What I want to say.
Looks like Al Gore.
I feel like I shouldn't say. Cooter?
No, nope, wrong guy.
Okay.
Cooter's the gas.
Cletus?
I think you're right.
It's one of them, like, southern...
Roscoe is a...
Yeah. Cooter is not a... Flash. It's not a something you call somebody.
Not anymore.
No, that's... It's changed meaning over the years.
There's a lot of things about the Dukes of Hazzard that's not acceptable anymore.
Daisy Dukes. That's like
That's still a
that's
thing.
Made its way into common vernacular. Yep.
Daisy Ducks.
Yes. Yes. That's Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Wind.
Wind Chime.
Chime in.
Inside out.
Out of bounds. Oh, yeah, good luck.
You got me on that one.
That should be a game. I think we just created a game.
Well, you're just looking for this to take somebody into words where you know there's nothing called bounds. Bounds. Leaks bounds got bounds. Joys and...
Oh. No.
Bounds got nuts and joy.
Almond joys got nuts. Bounds don't.
Well, speaking
so
of,
yeah, in case you missed that, it was said twice in that clip from the Dukes of Hazzard is turning
leave no stone unturned. Leave no stone unturned. It got me thinking, and something that I thought we could spend a bunch of time on today.
Oh, good.
Is geocaching.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Were you there too?
No, so relatable for.
Yeah, so leaving no stone unturned. I was. I know we've shared like small adventures on the pod over the years about some geocaching things that we've done.
Yeah.
What are some of your most epic geocache? And for those of you who aren't geocachers, well, just pretend on this. It's GPS looking for Tupperware in the woods.
We'll clap twice when it's time to stop fast forwarding.
Yeah, we'll put a marker on the...
So what I rate as great geocache memories isn't always about... Like, it's different things. So sometimes there's a first to find. Like, we did that circuit, like, through the night, through the woods, where it was, like, a multi-cache until we got to that Cryptex
thing. That has to be one of our biggest adventures. And we could take a second. So the gist on this one was that there was 10 puzzles that we had to solve. These,
and they're based on a TV show?
No, these 10 puzzles were quite random, actually. Oh, in terms of the puzzles.
Different one, maybe.
So we had to solve these 10 puzzles, which were like mind benders. Those 10 puzzles led you to 10 different coordinates. When you opened up the geocache, the piece of Tupperware in the woods, inside was another piece, so that once you collected all 10, it would direct you to an 11th final puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the 11th final puzzle, tell us about, or the...
Oh, yeah. What do you call those things?
It's a cryptex.
Oh, I got it right. So, yeah, like... Probably it was based on a TV show, because remember it had like a...
It was the Gold Star series.
Yeah, but it had almost like a X-ray looking image.
Yes. So what you're talking about...
Not X-Files.
No, it was Fringe.
Fringe. Yes, thank you. So it was loosely Fringe.
Yeah, so it wasn't like the Fringe series.
No, but
like,
it...
You had
it
to figure kinda, out that the glyphs used in the 10 puzzles was part of Fringe.
So anyway, the end, it was just what, 16? I don't even... No, I think it actually spelled out
Gold Star. Yeah.
Which we should have figured out
right away. Cryptex, as in like Da Vinci Code, these spinning dials on this thing that's the size, like bigger than a bread box. What would be a realistic?
Like a boom box.
Like old school boom box size. Yeah,
like bread box. Like that's a bigger than that bread box.
Bigger than a bread box.
Who brought a bread box to the studio?
With these 10 spinning tumblers on it.
Tumblers. That's a good word. Yeah.
That when you were done, the end came off.
Steam came out.
Steam came out.
And you had the embryo of a dinosaur.
No, it had that vibe to it, though.
Yeah, so we were the first to find on that one, which was a highlight. Because that was we had been working on the puzzles for days.
Yeah, I think we were second to find. We got stalled up.
First.
We were first on many of the puzzles. I'm mostly sure we were second to find on the final cryptex.
Well, I want to go on record.
You think we're the first?
I think we're the first.
That would be amazing.
So there was that one because of the degree of difficulty was satisfying. There was the adventure ones where we've rowboated across a moving river to get to it. But some of the smaller details have always fascinated me. Like one where it says, bring a couple liters of water with you.
And
you got to pour water into a leaking pipe that to get the thing to float to the top.
Buoyancy brings up the geocache from a tube out of the ground or whatever.
But to bring this back to our idiom today.
Leave no stone unturned.
Sometimes you get to a location and you're like, oh man, this is going to be a hunt. Have you ever gone to one where, speaking of stone unturned, where it's literally turn over the rock and there's just, you know, a beachfront of thousands of rocks.
And you're like, nest of snakes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not like it's a uncommon kind of geocache, but they sell fake rocks.
Right.
And so it could be that it's like, it's actually, you have to turn over every stone to find it.
Totally.
You turn over one and it's got like a false bottom on it and you dismantle it, pull out the...
I've got a false bottom, actually.
False bottom girls. Yeah. I guess that's actually a thing now.
False bottom girls?
Well, that you have like a bum injection or something.
Oh yeah, that's true. You could have a false bottom.
Yeah. Like, so it's not just for like secret chest, like the very, you know... Smuggling drugs into a country, false bottom.
You could have a secret chest as well. Speaking of surgeries.
I guess you could have a secret chest and a false bottom.
And a false bottom.
Wow. That's some treasure booty, pirate's gold going on there.
A lot of plastics.
So anyways. Yeah, so that's when Leave No Stone Unturned, my mind was like, oh, some of the most epic adventures we've had.
I have definitely come to final destination geocache moment where I believe I have truly turned over every stone and still not found it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you look at the notes and somebody's found it an hour before you and you're like, what?
Those ones that are
frustrating.
Yeah, it's completely maddening. Quick find.
I know it's me.
Quick find.
I'm like, yeah, exactly.
They leave in the log notes. You're like, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so those.
When's the last time you've been geocaching?
So I hit that point where locally I had tapped out everything within like 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
And so to go get one, like.
Is that still the case, or do you think there's some new ones?
No, there's definitely new ones.
That you have not.
I have not got it. So, yeah. But I always, 100% of the time when I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. Vacation.
It's funny you 100%. Say that. When I was in Toronto this week, I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab a geocache.
Yes.
Even though I've geocached in Toronto before, I'm like, I'll for sure do that. I didn't because I didn't know my schedule was going to be so packed. Okay, here's something interesting, unrelated, but it is related to my Toronto trip. So I have a coworker in Toronto, and I've got this packed 3-4 day conferencey thing I'm at. And he's like, well, what are you doing Tuesday evening? And I said, I could probably make something work. I did want to meet with him anyway. He goes, I got Raptors tickets. And I'm like, yep.
I have Rapture tickets.
We'll make
praise
that.
Praise the Lord.
Did I say Rapture?
I don't know.
Raptors.
Okay.
I haven't been to an NBA game
get
since.
Get your Jesus on. Get them Rapture tickets.
The Grizzlies. When's the last time you were at an NBA game?
Last time was a Grizzlies game,
right?
When they were in Vancouver.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, went to a Raptors game, and it gets even better. So we lost. It wasn't the greatest game. We're up in the nosebleeds.
Kobe comes back from the dead.
No, better. What? So after the first quarter or some break they're in, this female rapper comes onto the court.
Okay.
It's not halftime.
Mary
and they're
Jane
like,
Ride.
Please welcome Moni Love. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking around. Nobody cares. I'm like, I'm clearly the only one that listened to rap in the 80s in this room.
I have no idea what Moni Love is.
So then Yo-Yo comes out. So then they disappear. It's very brief. Two female rappers from the 80s.
Salt and Pepper.
Halftime comes, and they welcome them back out along with Montel Jordan.
Montel Jordan?
Yeah. So Montel Jordan, Yo-Yo, and Moni Love break it down at halftime saying, this is how we do it.
Did anyone know what was happening?
It was very poorly watched. Other than the 10 Raptors cheerleaders that are 4 feet in front of them, just like jamming out. But I'm like, that was cool. I just saw Montel Jordan, 6'8", he stood.
Do you think there's going to be Rapture cheerleaders?
Rapture?
Yeah.
There would have to be.
You think? There's just going to be some Christians up there, dance party?
Yeah. Sure.
Why not?
Choreographed.
No, from the top. 1, 2, 3. So it's
these, anyway, that has nothing to do with today's idiom. It's just
these things of leaving no stone unturned. Well, I guess you would have to tip over a gravestone to find some of those people, because that is from an era gone by.
To find what?
Moni Love or whatever.
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about Kobe. I'm like, yeah, you'd have to turn over a stone.
No.
I'm like, are you making that kind of joke right now?
I can't believe bring up a Kobe thing like that. Wow, that's terrible.
I got three options of where this idiom might come from.
I'm anxious to hear.
Here they are. We'll play a little game.
Okay.
Or do you already know?
No. Yes.
I don't believe you anymore.
No. So, yes, I have something.
You have an idea, but you didn't go investigating.
No, but I came across something, so my eyes can't unsee what I saw. But I wrote it down, and I can't remember, so I'm not going to look at it.
Okay, here's the three choices. Does this come from crustacean hunters?
Crustacean hunters, like the mantis shrimp. Okay.
Crustacean hunters. Does it come from snake removal? Or does it come from a Greek fable?
Okay, it's starting to come back to me now.
There you go.
I'm going to go with Greek fable.
Yeah, I figured if you've seen it, one of these is going to trigger.
Okay, yeah, and of those choices as well.
Yeah. See, I went with crustacean hunters.
Crustacean hunters in Thailand?
What?
Because if you add a place, it makes it more authentic as a possible origin story.
Oh, I thought you were trying to make an acronym. Crustacean hunters in Thailand. Chit?
No. That was not what I was doing. I was just adding a location.
Oh, because that's the one you fall for.
Yes, I always fall for
in
the location.
In 500 BC.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with fable. I'll take fable for $500. Yeah,
I thought if I did snake removal, because you even said a few minutes ago, you turn over and you find a nest of snakes. That
happened in Kelowna.
Snakes tend to hide under. What? That actually happened?
Me and Ryan.
You found a nest of snakes?
It was a group of, yes.
No way.
I didn't see like shells and everything, but yes.
That's funny. It was a group.
Yeah.
It was a nest. Well, it was a group of snakes.
It was a cluster. It was a ball of snakes.
Were they balled up like that?
See? I threw it. I don't know, but if I threw it in there.
Well, you saw it.
Well, no.
Oh.
But when I think of a snake ball, I'm like thinking.
Was it a pit? Was it a snake pit?
No. It was under a rock. We moved the rock aside and then there were snakes.
I'm going to tell one more story.
Okay.
My friend, his
name... I still choose C. It's a fable. Okay, continue.
Yeah, okay. I have a friend named Todd, who grew up with two older evil brothers. Okay. They're nice guys now. But he has this story where they found there was this snake pit. Like, it was, I don't know, he said it was like 5 or 6 feet deep. And in that pit, there's holes all along the walls on the inside. And they would throw stones, like a heavy rock, into the thing. And the vibration would cause snakes to come out of all these holes. And so the bottom would just look like a writhing
I think there's a snake pool. A copulation thing that they, snake balls are, that doesn't mean it that way, but snake, a ball of snakes.
Yeah.
As opposed to snake balls.
So his older brothers tossed him in.
No.
And then stomped around to create the vibration. And he was buried. And he's still afraid of snakes, obviously. But he was buried. Like, he could feel the weight of the snakes on top of him.
This sounds like a terrible episode of Fear Factor.
Right?
That is awful.
Yeah.
His brothers are evil.
Real life experience. And local, like, on the island, they found this snake pit that they were able to do that.
This is weird. That's a weird story.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways,
snake pit, stone unturned. They threw a stone in there to cause it to
come out. Stone unturned. Let's see where this idiom actually comes from.
You want to? Should we get into it?
Let's do it.
All right. Said some words, where'd they go, no one can know. I turned around and looked behind, those words came from another mind. Origins. You know who else has a snake pit? Slash.
Does he?
Like the mosh pit at the front of his shows would be the snake pit.
Hmm.
Anyway, thought you'd find that interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is a Greek fable. So the image of turning every stone was already a proverbial saying almost 2,000 years ago. In ancient Greece, the playwright Euripides, who lived...
There's a fart joke in here.
Euripides.
So two Greek guys.
What do you do with these?
They're sitting there, and it's like, you smell that?
That was like, you?
I farted. So
it's Euripides?
Euripides? We're not there yet, but...
There's
a joke there.
There's
somewhere.
Material.
Euripides.
So around 45, 406 BC, somewhere in there, used it in, I'm not going to pronounce any of this stuff, but Heraclidae, children of Heracles, around 430 BC. This is the translation. Should not I, who am hated by these children and aware of their inherited hatred of me, have left no stone unturned in machinations to kill or exile them?
Hmm.
So yeah. That was 400 BC or earlier.
This is the origin.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's funny because the thing that I came across has nothing to do with that outside the word Greek.
Okay, it might be coming still then.
Oh, okay.
So the Greek text, which is, again, for anybody who's Greek, this is going to be terrible. But Pantakinesai Petron, which literally translates to have turned every stone, according to the American author John Bartlett, who lived in the early 1800s through to the 1900s, in familiar quotations being an attempt to trace their source. So this is what he's got I lost my place here. Bartlett mentions a story supposed to have taken in 479 BC when the second invasion of Greece by the Persians in the reign of Xerxes. Am I getting closer?
Okay.
Xerxes?
Nope. But continue.
Still not what you had? Oh, interesting. So that was brought to an end. So according to a rumor, Xerxes' general, Mardonius, who was killed in the Battle of Plataea, had hidden a treasure under his tent or close to it.
Now we're getting to where my story picks up.
Okay, a certain Polycrates of Athens or Thebes, trusting his rumor, bought the site.
Polycrates?
Polycrates. Polycrates. That's how Bill and Ted would say it. Bought the site, started digging for the treasure, found nothing, and so he asked a Delphic oracle how he could find it, and received the reply, again, Greek, panta lithon kanai, literally means turn every stone, and then the treasure was found.
So the Oracle of Delphi is what I came across. Yeah.
Okay. Delphic Oracle. Oracle of Delphi.
Yes. Oracle of Delphi.
So that's it? You just found those two words?
Some came up. Oracle of Delphi. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It was advising them on a treasure that was kept in some tent or something. It was leave no stone unturned.
Yeah. So that was it. That was the story. So the earliest known instance of to leave no stone unturned in print is from How's this for a title? This is the title, not the first chapter. This is the title. A manifest detection of the most vile and detestable use of dice play and other practices like the same. A mirror very necessary for all young gentlemen and others suddenly enabled by worldly abudus to look in, newly set forth for their behoof. That's the title. And in there is the first time that it's in print where it says that he will refuse no labor nor leave no stone unturned to pick up a penny underneath. In that title, there was one word, abudes, A-B-U with a line over it, D-A-C-E. It was the only word that I couldn't figure out because it's all written in weird old English. So I looked it up. I'm like, definition of this word. And the only thing that comes up is quoting the same line.
Did he just make up a whole word?
I don't know. I have no idea what this one single word means. So if anybody knows this word, please write in.
So it sounds like you at least left some stones turned.
That's one stone has not been turned. I don't know. So lastly, this is not the origins, but it is out there. And why I use crustacean hunters as one of the options is some people say it comes from turning over stones to find crabs.
That used to be such a fun thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. As an island boy. It's still fun.
Still fun.
Yeah, you flip them over, find those real, like, those little guys.
Yeah, did you ever find eels? Like, little mini eels?
I did
bouncing
not.
Around?
That would be the last time I flipped a rock.
Oh, we found them all the time. Like, White Rock Beach.
That's all. I grew up on the islands, man. Like a Barbadian. And it was just these mini crabs. If I flipped over something and there was an eel or anything weird, that would have been the last time I ever would have done that. I already have enough problems with the water. Yeah.
All right, well, we found eels sometimes, or jellyfish, not under rocks, though. So.
Yeah. I did hear that, are we prepped to go into some riddlings? Okay, yeah, I did hear this little phrase that women are like stones.
Okay.
You should skip the flat ones. Just kidding. Okay.
And what about the turning over every stone?
We should get into some riddle links before we get canceled again.
What do you call a woman doing somersaults down a hill?
That's not. I don't know, Jack and Jill.
Two women doing somersaults down a hill, based on the information you just gave me.
I don't know.
Rolling Stones.
Oh.
That's innocent enough. It's nice. Just because you said women are like stones. All right. Well,
that's not what I said.
Riddle Link is a game we like to play. It takes two-part trivia-based question. Requires a two-part overlapping answer, overlapping by sound, syllable, word, or words. So I'll give you a little example. Last week, our idiom was keep it under your hat, and we left you with this one. You may be asked to keep a secret here, but bury this to let bygones be bygones. So one more time. You may be asked to keep a secret here, but bury this to let bygones be bygones. Got that one?
No.
So the idiom is keep it what?
Don't know.
Under your hat. That's the idiom.
I'm drawing a huge
What do you
blank.
Bury to make
Bodies.
An
Bodies.
Hatchet. You bury the hatchet.
Oh.
So the correct answer is under your hatchet. It's not under your hat. It's not hatchet. It's under your hatchet. That's kind of how you play Riddle Link.
Itch. I could not figure that out for some reason.
I
mental block.
I have a mistake here, and
something you can correct. Well, I've got two prepared.
Okay, I got two prepared. I'll figure it out.
Okay, so I'll start in my first one. This might be, we'll see where this goes.
Okay.
GPS search for hidden Tupperware as this Pokemon trainer.
Wait, what?
I know. GPS search for hidden Tupperware as this Pokemon trainer. There are some nerds out there that are going to eat.
That's got to be Geocache Wednesday.
No.
Geocache-bury.
No. So the Pokemon trainer in question is Ash Ketchum.
Geocache Ketchum.
Yes.
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is out of your breadth of knowledge.
Yeah. Pokemon is limited resources there.
Ash Ketchum.
That makes sense. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you one.
Okay.
What's crazier than crazy about this Persian ruler? What's crazier than crazy about this Persian ruler?
So I'm going with Xerxes as the Xerxes. Berserxes?
That's it.
That's so funny.
Not bad.
That's, can you see him just getting enraged? It's like he's going nuts. He's going Berserkses.
He's like, that's his.
Don't make me go Berserkses.
That's his WWE name.
I'll see you at the gardens.
Berserkses.
Berserkses breaks a chair over. The Hulk. Okay. Xerxes was the ruler in like 300.
Was that Xerxes?
That's Xerxes.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, that was embellished. It didn't really happen like that.
No, well, that does look like that WWE.
Oracles. That had oracles. It had those three ladies. They were an oracle.
I can't remember.
Anyways. Okay, the second one. This one might be too hard, but we'll see. Using coordinates to find a lock and lock on the first day of Lent.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Just say it again.
Okay. Using coordinates to find a lock and lock on the first day of Lent.
That is incredible. That's going to be Geocache Wednesday. You actually have that written down?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Because I said it for no reason at all. I just knew it was geocache.
That's why I thought it might be too hard for you.
That's awesome.
You shoot no answers before I've asked the questions.
That's how
good you're the oracle.
I was speaking to an oracle. Okay, I got one more, but why don't you tell everybody how they can play along?
Villegitimate children, we would love to hear from you on Instagram at the.village.idiom or email us at villageidiompodcast@gmail.com, or whether it's the Facebook, the YouTubes, or the X at 3 minutes gone.
This is one I actually was worried you might have come up with, because I think we've referenced it before. But anyway, here it is. Don't miss any rock in your search for this DJ Snake and Lil Jon song. Don't miss any rock in your search for this DJ Snake and Lil Jon song.
Yes. And that is 3 minutes gone. Yes. Five and dime. Okay. Well, that was good. Fast and furious, illegitimate children. Get back to whatever you're doing. Stop slacking off.
That's right.
Don't just pause your day and just jump in on the podcast.
You get back to work.
Do that as your soul thing.
Every stone
all the
in
stones.
Your day.
All the stones.
All the stones.
I'm Skinny.
I'm Jurassic Mark.
And these are the Village Idioms.
That's Europe.
That's 3 minutes gone.